Caduceus Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic today is The Seven Rays, Part 3. And this is a thought taken from the works of Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey, by the way, is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show, Inner Sight, and all of the dialogue that takes place on this show emanates from the literature, one of the 24 volumes of Alice Bailey's works. But I like this particular thought taken from the works of Alice Bailey. There is one life which expresses itself primarily through seven basic qualities or aspects, and secondarily through the myriad diversity of forms. These seven radiant qualities are the seven rays. And before we recap, I'd like Sarah and Dale to recap for us what we've been saying about the seven rays. I'd just like to ask a question. In this opening thought from Alice Bailey, what does she mean by there is one life?
I think she's referring to the creative force, the source and power of the created world, which many people call God. Mm-hmm. Or the Creator, or Allah, or whatever. That's the one life, and we are all contained within that one life, according to the ageless wisdom.
Okay. And I think at this point, for those who perhaps weren't listening last time, I'd like you to recap the essence of the theme that we're doing on the seven rays.
Well, we started out by discussing the seven rays in general, and I think a good definition of what we mean by the term ray is that it's a name for a particular kind of force or energy which makes its impact and expresses its quality according to the instrument that receives the energy, and the instrument in this case being the human being, the human psychological makeup. Mm-hmm. All human beings are conditioned by seven types of energy called the seven rays. And we talked about the significance of the number seven in our world. For example, the story of Genesis says the world was created in 7 days. And
yes, and then there are also the seven notes of the musical scale, mm-hmm. of the Western scale.
Seven glands, seven major glands.
Mm-hmm. And there is also seven, what they call seven centers, seven chakras in the body, mm-hmm. of the human body. Mm-hmm. And there are also, another way of looking at it is through the rainbow. There is, you know, like seven colors in the light spectrum. If you light shines through a prism, it differentiates into seven streams or seven basic colors.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, seven is a very deep spiritual number. Mm. So it's not unusual to have seven rays as well. Yeah.
We also talked about the fact that every human being is conditioned by up to five different ray energies. And maybe we should name the rays. There's the first ray of will and power, the second ray of love, wisdom, the third ray of active intelligence, the fourth ray of harmony through conflict, the fifth ray of knowledge or science, the sixth ray of idealism and devotion, and the seventh ray of order and organization. And every human being is conditioned by up to five of these ray energies. The soul of the human being is governed by a particular ray. His or her personality, his outer presentation to the world is governed by a different ray energy. And then the mind, the emotions, and the physical body all have their particular ray energy that qualifies them.
And the value of looking at these rays and try to understand each ray that one has is another an extension of psychology, mm-hmm. Because it's a new way, actually a new way of looking at yourself and understanding what you're made of, how you're made up, and it doesn't have to do with just discovering neuroses and dealing with neuroses.
Compulsions.
Right. It's discovering what you really are, and where your goals should be, your future should be, and what direction you should be leading your life. And so in that respect, a study of the seven rays is very valuable, and we'll go into this more as we go along.
Yeah, and as science has evolved, we do find out as time goes on that there are energies and frequencies that do affect us. So based on that, let's continue our discussion on the seven rays, and today we'll talk about the second ray of love and wisdom. By magnetic, attractive, sympathetic understanding and the wise use of slow action based on love, do the servers on this ray work. And today their power is becoming dominant. That's another thought from Alice Bailey. I like that thought, and I think it's a profound one. By magnetic, attractive, sympathetic understanding and the wise use of slow action based on love, do the servers on this ray work. And today their power is becoming dominant. What can you tell us about the second ray?
The second ray is the ray of love wisdom, as I mentioned earlier. It's the major ray energy conditioning our world, according to the writings of Alice Bailey in The Ageless Wisdom. I think it's said that a majority of souls living in the world at this time are governed by this energy of love and wisdom. That does not mean that they are necessarily perfect expressions of pure divine love. What it means is that their highest self, which is the soul, the better angels of their nature, are forces that tend towards love, towards wisdom. But not all souls are governed by the second ray. You recognize it by certain virtues like mm-hmm. Calmness, strength of character, patience, a love of truth, a commitment to truth, capacity for intuition, and serenity. Those often are indications of a second ray human being.
Each ray has what we call vices and virtues and vices, and this is another way of redefining and trying to identify one's rays. Because, for example, the vices of the second ray is called overabsorption in study. For example, if one spends his time just studying, that could be one of the vices, and which could lead to a certain amount of coldness or indifference to other people. So even though it's the ray of love and wisdom, they do have their lower expressions on the rather negative side. And if one can identify these characteristics in oneself, then there are virtues that one should aim for, like love and compassion and unselfishness and that serenity that is so very special of the second ray. So, I mean, with every ray there are virtues and vices, and there are also glamours associated with the rays too. And one of the glamours of the second ray might be like the Messiah complex. You quite often see that in certain individuals.
I've known some.
Yes, we've met a few of them. But there are these characteristics, and this is all laid out in the Bailey books and the Bailey teachings if one wants to look at them and study them, because they actually tell a lot about ourselves.
Another point to bring up is that not only human beings are governed by the rays, nations and groups are governed by particular ray energies. We talked about that last time. And the second ray is especially interesting because it governs the soul of the United States, and it also governs the soul of New York City, according to the Ageless Wisdom. And recent events arising from September 11th's tragedy, I think, really show the secondary soul of this great city, where people came together in love, compassion, without any hesitation. They gave themselves over to the effort to salvage what they could from that horrible disaster. That's an expression of love and wisdom that I think all of us will remember forever.
Absolutely. I think that there are probably a lot of people out there who admire the ray of love and wisdom. If I want to get into that ray and I'm attracted to that ray, how do I go about getting on the path where I become immersed in that particular ray? How do I do that?
Well, we cultivate divine qualities by pondering on them, by reflecting on them, by acting as if we already have those qualities manifesting in our nature. And certainly everyone, I think, is oriented toward becoming more loving. It doesn't mean that people that are on are governed by different rays than the second are not loving. It doesn't mean that. But you cultivate these qualities by aspiring toward them and beginning to manifest them according to your best ability.
There are different degrees of love, of course, all the way from the purely physical love, all the way up to the highest demonstration of that would perhaps be the Christ and the Buddha, those two great beings.
Completely inclusive love, yeah, as opposed to the very personal form of love that most people think of, where you love someone for themselves and you want them to love you for your own unique nature. But the love wisdom of the second ray is utterly inclusive in its highest form, without limitation.
So these are the higher possibilities that are held out for us if you're on this second ray line, because there's always a greater love that one can work towards in one's life.
Now, as we do this show, I'm wondering, what nobody has come along and pinned a label on me and said which ray I am, but I'm kind of curious. How does one identify one's ray? How would we go about that?
It's really quite a challenge. Those who study the seven rays find that they try on different rays, like trying on different hats and garments. And for a while they might think they're governed by a particular ray, and then they'll change their mind and think, oh no, it must be this ray. But I do think that if you are attracted to a particular ray energy, if it evokes a sense within yourself that it describes or defines you, then probably you are governed by it. But the problem is, as I said, that we're ruled by up to five different rays. The energy of our soul, our higher self, the energy of our personality, which is our outer face, our outer persona, and then the energy of our mind, the way we think, the way we solve problems, the energy of our emotional body, our habits of reaction and feeling, and the energy of our physical body. These are all governed by probably different rays. Sometimes there's some overlap. So you can respond to a particular ray, and it probably is affecting you, but to pinpoint.
Yeah. So I have read the works of Alice Bailey, when I look upon myself as a particular ray, if I say I'm a third ray or a second ray individual, what I'm really saying is that that's my dominant energetic force that's influencing. That's the dominant ray that's influencing me.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, but there are other.
The energy of active intelligence is something that you feel defines an essential part of your character and your being, yes.
Yeah, so that would be the dominant ray, but there would be other rays affecting me as well that are not as meaningful.
Well, one of the problems is figuring out what the dominant energy is coming through, your personality or your soul. It's not easy.
Also, I think the one's profession, if one is really... let's say, take, for example, a teacher. mm-hmm. because the teacher was always, a good first-rate teacher will always be, usually be found on a second-ray line, because that would be a natural expression for this person. You know, from the time they were born, from a young person, they would aspire to be a teacher. And that's someone who is... was born with this quality. Mm-hmm. So,
but you don't mean necessarily a classroom teacher.
No, it could be. There are many ways to teach.
Mm-hmm. You're teaching right now.
So it's one can look at that, but you have to be very honest with yourself in determining these ray qualities, and you know, really discriminating and honest and say, yes, this is what I am. I have these qualities, as I mentioned earlier, because there are virtues and vices. And by looking at the vices that we have, we can also determine or help to find out what ray quality is mm-hmm. is most strongly in our life.
Yeah. So since you've used teaching as an example, a teacher would tend to probably be in a second ray?
Not necessarily. No. I don't know if it's that cut and dried, but mm-hmm. it's a probability, yeah.
Okay. Well, love and wisdom is certainly a quality we want to see within teachers. For all of you who have just, for anyone who has just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. And our topic for today is The Seven Rays, Part 3. And we're talking about the second ray, which is love and wisdom. And if you'd like to order any of our books, our cassette tapes of our previous archived radio shows, or a cassette tape of this show, or if you'd like to order the Alice Bailey books, there are 24 volumes. What would the, now of course, we said earlier that every show emanates from a particular book. What would be the best book, which volume, and what title for this particular show, if they wanted to explore the rays further?
It's actually five books that make up what we call the Treatise on the mm-hmm. Seven Rays. And the first two volumes, Esoteric Psychology Volumes 1 and 2, would be especially good.
Okay, so if you'd like to order those books and get deeper into the seven rays that affect our personalities, our lives, and understand them, and thereby understanding oneself, you can certainly give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247, and an easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York, LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Lucis, our website is www.lucistrust.org. Our email is newyork@lucistrust.org. And remember that the work of Lucis Trust, including this program, is funded entirely by voluntary donations. And we certainly welcome your support and welcome your donations so that we can stay on the air. And if you'd... like to, or once again, if you'd like to order those books, please feel free to do so. And I think one of the nice things, if you order directly from the Lucis Trust organization, you'll get a 10% discount, providing you order all 24. You can also buy them at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, Borders, and other bookstores. Now, to continue this further, we're talking about the seven rays, and this is the second ray is the highlight of our discussion today. How does someone conditioned by the second ray, how does that person develop spiritually?
Well, that's a fascinating question, because we don't all develop in our spiritual evolution in the same way. You might think human beings would, but they don't. According to the ray energy that qualifies their soul, they might proceed on the spiritual path in quite different ways. For example, the first ray soul approaches the spiritual life dynamically, through the use of the will, the spiritual mm-hmm. will. The phrase people might have heard of taking the kingdom of heaven by storm applies to the souls on the first ray. Uh-huh. The second ray, however, develops in a slower way. And our opening thought touched on the slowness of the wise use of slow action. That's very much a second ray trait. Wisdom, love, slow, persistent endeavor describes that soul. They work through meditation, through reflection, through study of spiritual truths, gradually, I suppose, bringing them into the atoms of their being through study and pondering and reflection. It sinks in.
Yeah, developing spiritually, you can develop actually on any of the rays. It's mm-hmm. it's a matter of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Spirituality is simply an awakening of one's consciousness. And as on the second ray, one would be open more and more to that love quality that enters into one's life. And it's also a matter of leading a spiritual life is a matter of it becoming a way of life. And it becomes endowed, your life becomes endowed with this quality. And it's not just something you think about or study. It's or just acquire intellectual knowledge about, but you become it becomes a spiritual rule by which you live, and so that becomes the dominant characteristic.
Well, you mentioned a word too earlier that defines the second ray soul's pursuit of spiritual development. When you said open, they become open. I think the second ray soul becomes more and more inclusive of life. And by that, I mean the consciousness becomes more and more aware of and able to identify with the life that lives within all beings, mm-hmm. not only within all human beings, but within all living things. And if you use your imagination to try to build a picture of such a being, it's someone who can include the humanity and the spirituality of all kinds of different forms, because on the level of the outer form, there's great variety. But the second ray soul is able to perceive that indwelling divinity that is one in all, behind all forms. Mm-hmm. And this inclusive consciousness that embraces all living things is very much an expression of the second ray approach to the spiritual path.
And it's also the way of wisdom, that mm-hmm. oneness or that openness and inclusiveness, because it is not just an accumulation of knowledge. We mm-hmm. use knowledge as a basis for understanding the world, and which leads eventually to more wisdom in understanding. And it opens the way to the intuition, mm-hmm. which is the wisdom track. And the intuition is really a much higher form of mind than we normally think about it, because it really lies beyond that level of mind. It's a very high level of mind that is totally inclusive.
Another way to understand the way that spiritual development proceeds for second-ray people is to compare them to the first ray. And we mentioned in the program when we discussed the first ray that there's a tendency in those souls to destroy, to break up old forms that are no longer useful. The Bible speaks of not being able to put new wine in old bottles. And that's very much a recognition of the first ray soul, that there's a time to destroy and eliminate anything that hinders or impinges upon spiritual growth. Whereas the second ray soul builds. That person is a natural builder and creator. Mm. So there's quite a contrast there. And as people in our audience listen to these descriptions, maybe they can begin to see themselves and the people they know best in the light of these different attributes, because all seven rays are divine. There is no one ray that's better than another ray.
Yes, maybe an example, you mentioned that first ray destroyer aspect, but maybe in the arts, for example, Picasso might be a good example of that destroyer, because he literally destroyed, through his art, he destroyed the old forms of art and the old ideas and the stereotypes of artistic expression, and created a whole different new expression.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way that this first ray energy works through human beings.
Can you, as I sit here thinking, I'm trying to, what's going through my mind is different major personalities and trying to figure out which ray they personified or manifested. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some examples of the second ray?
Well, the two greatest examples we have are the Christ and the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
They are both examples of the second ray as world teacher. And the impact of their life and teachings is still with us 2,600 years later after their death. They are a supreme example of love and wisdom in human form. There are other examples, though. I mentioned that nations are ruled by ray energies, and the United States is governed on the soul level by the second ray. So is the United Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and so is Brazil. I believe Brazil is governed on the personality level by the second ray. What are some other examples?
Well, I was thinking
in
of, in relation to the arts again, I think I always thought that Leonard Bernstein expressed a lot of that second ray, because you remember years ago he had that TV special where he used his good offices and his talents to teach young people mm-hmm. about the orchestra and mm-hmm. about orchestral music, and mm-hmm. it was a real marvelous program.
He's
a natural teacher, and he used music. He taught through music.
So does mm-hmm. Wynton Marsalis, the jazz and classical musician, the trumpeter.
Right.
He's a natural teacher. And Yo-Yo Ma is a teacher, and he's also extremely inclusive in the second ray sense. He loves to play music of different forms. I think he's just issued a recording that he plays the cello along with a folk musician of some sort. He's very open to collaborating with people of other musical traditions, and that would suggest a second ray inclusiveness.
Yes, and there are a lot of other, if you begin to think about other artists that use their talents, their art, as ways of teaching, then you begin to see these qualities of love and wisdom coming through.
Well, one of the qualities that I've learned to value through the works of Alice Bailey is the quality of harmlessness. It's really turning me upside down. Every time I approach a person or anything in life, I think, well, does this follow the value of harmlessness? Would that be a second ray characteristic as well?
I think it must be.
Yeah.
The expression of love is naturally and inevitably harmless.
Yeah, and that would be part and parcel with
love.
So the second
ray speaks to you, Robert.
Okay, I'm happy about that. I admire the second ray, and I want to internalize it. So what we'd like to do is just welcome you to join us next time, and it's about all the time we have for our discussion today. Now we'd like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.